Okay, so here's a question for today. How can we know what to believe? How do we know what truth is? How can we know what we should believe in? And why do we believe what we believe? That's our question for this morning. Because we all have different ideas. We have different opinions. We have different things that we think are reality. And for us, they are our reality. We have different thoughts about how things should work. Afterwards, just don't do this. I was going to say, just strike up a conversation about politics or masks or vaccination, and you will quickly discover we all have different opinions about how life should be, about how things should function. And we also carry that into our relationship with God. We say things like, God wouldn't do thus and so. We wouldn't say thus and so now. We're more modern people, but God wouldn't do that. God isn't like this. God wouldn't ask you to do that. God does ask you to do this. This is what you should do. We have opinions. We think things. So how do we form our opinions? How do we form our convictions? What we think? Well, I think we listen to just about every, we get a lot of input. We sometimes, you know, Bible and God, we listen to some of that. We're here right now, so we certainly do that. But we also listen to our friends and definitely our family. I'm very formed by what my family thought and thinks. We listen to ourselves. We definitely listen to ourselves. Our life experiences form what we think and what we feel about things. The way we were brought up, what we were told from an early age is the reality, or shown is the reality. All of that kind of comes together and makes a big old stew, a hodgepodge of different ideas, different beliefs, different from different sources, depending on how I feel and what I want. All that gets mixed together, and that's what I believe, and that's what I think, and that's what my convictions are, and that's where we find a problem. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Coming back to, now I know we read this section, so we'll read this. This takes us to what we're going to look at today. 1 John 5, verse 4, what we believe is really, really important. It's too important to be left just to all the different influences that we kind of mix together in our minds and come up with what we believe. It's a life and death thing. Look at verse 4 of chapter 5, 1 John. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's our belief. Who is it, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith, what we believe, is incredibly important. Ultimately, it's what decides if we overcome the world or not. Our life and our eternity depends on what we believe. And if we can't, see, when we just mix together different ideas and this is the way I was raised, and then I think this, and I'm pretty sure about this, and this can't be true, when we mix all that together, we can't truly be sure, be convicted at the very deepest part of our being, that what we believe is true. When we can't explain it well or defend it, when the best we can do is say, well, that's just what I believe. Why? Because that doesn't give us surety. That doesn't give us conviction. And in the middle of this, God drops in and says, I have something to say. I have something to tell you and I, us all. God has something to tell us. He's going to tell us what we should believe and why we should accept what he says, over and above everything else, including what we think and what we feel and what my reality is. He's going to tell us what his reality is and why we should accept that, and how that gives our life an incredibly firm foundation as we trust in him. So first, we're going to jump down to verse 11. What is it that God says? That there's one thing that God emphasizes in this text, and it tends to be the thing that God historically in the Bible says over and over and over again. If there's one thing God says, it's this, and definitely it is this in this text, verse 11. This is the testimony So we're going to go back. We'll back up. Don't worry. But it's been, God's been saying, I'm saying something. I have something to tell you. And this is it. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's what God is saying. That's what God would say to us. That is in that we should put our faith and believe. Why? Well, because God says it. God tells us who Jesus is, that Jesus is His Son, and that God gives life through Him. That's the only thing that God has to say. It's what He says here, what He says, okay, your faith will overcome the world, and this is what you should believe. This is the thing. There's a lot of ancillary stuff, a lot of outline, but this is the thing. Why is believing this so important? Why is this the thing that God emphasizes? Why don't we get a list of 10 here? There's one. Because this reality changes everything. It puts everything else in its proper place in our lives. When we believe if Jesus is the Son of God, if He's God, then that means He is the King, He's the Lord, He's the one who governs and reigns over all, whether we accept that or not. He is. That's what God is saying. It puts everything, all of our other questions, what about this? What about this thing? And now people are saying, and people are like this, and I don't know what to think about this. It puts everything else in its place, because if Jesus is the Son of God, if He is the King of the universe, if He is Lord, then what He says about everything is what it is. That's what the reality about everything else is. So Jesus being Lord, Jesus is the Son of God. And if Jesus is life, if God's life comes through Jesus, that means Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the one who saves us by His life and His death and His resurrection. He rescues us and He redeems us from our lostness, the punishment that we deserve. Only in Him is life found. That's what God is saying, that He gives life. And that life is in His Son, Jesus. So how does He say that? That's what He's saying. That's what we're to believe. That's what's to be the base of everything else. We're not to believe a hodgepodge of stuff. That's the thing. How does God say it? Now back up in the verse. How does He say that we can know this, that we could believe this? Why should we believe this? God is going to say in this passage, there's three ways in which He has said, Jesus is my Son and life is in Him. Three witnesses, if you will. Read verse 6. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by water and the blood. I know this gets spinny, but just keep going. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and those three agree. And if we read that, and if you say, there are so many other clearer, more hard-punching, easy-to-apply parts of 1 John, aren't there? There are. And if you say, well, why are we spending a Sunday on this one? This kind of goes in circles about the Spirit and the water and the blood. And why are we talking? I know, I had the same thought. I really wanted to jump over this one. Several weeks ago, I struggled with that, but was not allowed to, so we're here. What does this mean? What is God saying? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful, so let's dig into this. What is it saying? What is God saying? It's saying that what God says about His Son, Jesus. Jesus is His Son. There's life in Him. And God saying that comes through three witnesses. God says it in through three different ways, three different times, through three different avenues. One is His Spirit. One is water. One is the blood. We know who the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. What is the water and the blood? What is that referring to? In one of the commentaries that I scanned a whole bunch of commentaries a few weeks ago, And just saying, okay, what is a consensus? There isn't a consensus, by the way. One of the first commentaries that I looked at said, this is arguably one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. In that moment, I was like, yeah, sign me up. I will vote yes to that. One of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. What is the water and the blood? So reading the commentaries, there were three different big schools of thought of what the water and the blood mean. They're very, very different. Some are appear a bit ridiculous, but it's kind of a stretch. But at the end, something dawned on me. It doesn't really matter. It does, but it doesn't. It doesn't really matter. How you interpret what the water and the blood are, what different interpretation you take, doesn't change the main point of the text. What's the main point of the text? It goes up to verse 11. God says, this is what they're saying. This is the thing that they're saying there. And so in this text, God is saying there are powers and spiritual forces that are testifying about Jesus, and you should put your trust in him because of that. So what the water and the blood are. But here is what my interpretation of this text is, and the one I'm going to go with. Water refers to Jesus's baptism. Why? Because that is when the Father spoke from heaven, gave testimony. This is my son. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. In his baptism was when the Father publicly testified about the identity of his Son in an audible voice, the Holy Spirit coming down to rest on Jesus. The Spirit obviously refers to the Holy Spirit, the one who filled Jesus with divine power throughout his life and his ministry, and the one who Jesus said that after his ascension into heaven, so now would continue to testify about him. Look at John, the Gospel of John. If you're in 1 John, you might say Big John for the gospel. Go backwards. John 15, verse 26. Jesus said, but when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will what? Bear witness about me. So the Spirit would continue testifying about Jesus even to this day. Flip forward to John 16, verse 14. Jesus said, speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he, the Spirit, will glorify me. So that's, he'll bear witness about me, he'll glorify me, he'll make me known, he'll lift me up. And the blood, so we have water, we have the Spirit, the blood that testifies about Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, is his death on the cross. It's when he fulfilled all of the prophecies that the Father had made about this Redeemer, this Rescuer who would come from the time God prophesied that in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, all the way up till when Jesus came. When he came, when he died on the cross, when he was resurrected with power, his death gave testimony that he was the one, that he is the one, that he is God's Son, and life comes through him. There's three witnesses, John says, that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they say the same thing. Jesus is God and life is in him, the Father in his baptism, the Spirit in our hearts, his death on the cross. And even today, they continue to say the same thing. They're three witnesses that continue to give testimony to Jesus, in part because our experience as we give ourselves to Jesus, as we draw near to Jesus, corresponds to these witnesses. We enter into Jesus and we put our trust in him when we are baptized, and then his Spirit enters into us. The work of the Spirit even today makes us see and value and love and know Jesus. It confirms in our hearts that Jesus is the Christ. We know it. You ask a Christian, what's your belief based on? We can give you facts. We can give you arguments. But there's a part of it that I know. How do you know? Because God's Spirit is in me. Well, give me proof of that. God, I, You have to experience it. God's Spirit is in me, and he confirms my heart. Jesus is the Christ. I sing words of the gospel. I read words in the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. I read, and it resonates in my heart. Why? Because God's Spirit testifies even now in us. And we remember the blood every week when we gather around the table, and we remember Jesus dying on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. God has said, he's spoken, he's said that we should believe him. Why should we believe him? Look at verse 9. If you're worried about the thing you put together, the puzzles, the way we're putting together the verse like puzzles, we're going to get all the different verses in. So read verse 9. If we believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. This answers a question: how do we know what we should believe? Why do we believe what the Bible says? And the big idea, and this is what God is saying in this verse, is this: we believe because God says so. That's why. He's saying, if we believe other people, how much more will we believe what God directly says about his Son? If we're willing to sit down and have coffee and debate and go back and forth, and you make a really good argument, and then I say, oh, I'm going to change what I believe because of what you said, that argument makes sense to me, how much more should we listen to the voice of our Creator? God gives us an argument that is not on its face based on human arguments, on human apologetics. I'm going to make the best case so that something clicks in you and you say, ooh, that makes sense to me. God's saying, my argument is based on me. It's not based on you. I'm not going to try to convince you with your logic. Normally we say, if I'll believe if it makes sense to me, if I can justify it and understand it, if I'm in agreement, if other people think the same thing, then I'll decide that that's true. This argument that God makes, verse 9, he's saying, this starts with me. It's because I'm saying this. That's why it's true. That's why you should believe it. It's kind of like when everybody's kind of arguing. You don't have to, you know, agree with this, but just in your house, everybody's arguing, maybe growing up, maybe now, everybody's arguing, you know, and then your father breaks silence and says the thing and said, nope, this is the way it is. And everybody goes, okay, that's the way it is. Don't like it. That's the way. And I know that reflects a certain patriarchal view, but I'm a dad. So, you know, that's the way I see life. And dad speaks up and says, no, this is the way it is. And that's the way it is because dad said that's the way it is. When God speaks, it's definitive. He's saying, I'm saying this is the way it is. That's why this is the way this is. Who is Jesus? How do we find life and salvation? And what should we base our lives? God has said it. He continues to say it through his Spirit. That's why we should accept what he says, because God has said it. And then read verse 10. Look at what we get when we put our trust in what God has said about himself, about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. That's calling God a liar. Because he has not believed that in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. When we believe what God says about himself and about his Son, and we put our trust in Jesus, we receive life. That's how you build your life on life. Rejecting that, not putting your faith and your trust in Jesus is missing life. It's missing the Savior. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're listening to this and you haven't put your trust in Jesus by repenting and being baptized, then that what he just said, that's describing you. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can accept the testimony of the Father. You can give yourself to Jesus and put your trust in him and say, I believe he's God. And I want him to be my God. I believe he's God. He's the King of the universe. I believe he's the Savior. I want him to be my Savior, my Lord. And you do that by repenting and being baptized, making a decision in your mind and your heart and with your body, with your whole being. And when you do that, you receive the Son and you receive eternal life that is in Him. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone, tell one of the men who has been up here, you can repent, be baptized. And okay, one last question. What should those of us who have already accepted Jesus do? What's the application for you and I? One application that I see in this text is this. One, there could be multiples. Here's the one that I want us to look at today. In everything, in every decision that we make, in everything that we believe, we should value God's opinion above all else. And we should accept what He says as our reality. We shouldn't overthink it. We should ask ourselves, if we're Christians, our main question should be not be what makes sense to me, or what do you think, or what it should be, what does God say? That's what we should ask. And you know how we know that we value God's opinion? When we read the Bible, when every day we start out our day by listening to God, and as when we have questions, we go to the Bible, and when we're thinking through things, we say, well, what does the Bible say about that? What does God say? Not what do I think God thinks about that? What does the verse in the Bible say? What does God say? And then when we obey that, that's what we should do. We should be people who base what we believe and what we do only on what God says. So let's end by doing, let's take communion together as we always do. And when we do that, we're holding up, as it were, the third witness, the blood of Jesus on the cross that testifies. Look at 1 John 5:11 again. This is the testimony. This is what, as we remember the blood of the body and blood of Jesus, this is what is spoken out. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That's the gospel. That's what we remember and we proclaim. And we celebrate as we take the Lord's Supper together that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to this world in the form of a man, that He lived a perfect life, that He was brutally murdered on the cross, that He rose with power from the tomb. As we take bread, as we take the juice, we remember His body, remember His blood, and we proclaim that He is our Savior, that by His wounds our soul has been healed, that because of Him we are God's dearly beloved children, that he will raise us up from our tombs, and we will live with Him forever. We believe that because God has said it, and together we remember and we celebrate our Savior. God, we come to You and we thank You because You are so good and kind. Thank You for mornings like this one where we can remember the gospel together and remind ourselves of what it is that we believe, what it is that our belief is based on. We remember Jesus on the cross, and now as we take the bread and remember His body, we thank You. Thank You for Him, and thank You that we can remember together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.